I'm not really happy to be here today. I'd rather be somewhere else. Really excited with the opportunity to carry on here and help lead this team to a championship. First, I'd like to thank the Pakulas for the continued support and giving me another opportunity to continue. Yarmo, thank you to Yarmo too, who ultimately made the decision to help keep me here. Really excited about what our group did this year. The energy that our fans brought, the energy in the city, where we got to in the second half of the year, excited me. I think the playoffs with a group that had never been before, I felt really proud of. The battle in our team, the desperation, some of the situations they faced for a first time. I can tell you that I was proud of the way they handled it. For a group that had never been there before. And we won some big games in visiting buildings. That Game 6 clinching win in Boston, the Game 6 game in Montreal to come back here, our group really handled it well. So just saying that it's great to be here in a sense that I'm going to continue, and I'm humbled again by the opportunity. I will add that probably the biggest decision, or one of my biggest decisions, was talking with my assistant coach, which is my wife. Because there's a lot of nights you go home and question whether you should still be coaching. And she's the one that I would go home and talk to, and part of the decision to carry on is that my assistant coach was good with us too, and unbelievable support through all these years, and probably wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for her too at the same time. Questions?
Lindy, when you're, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Good to have you back. When your wife agreed to it, was there any question in your mind then that you wanted to come back?
No, it's something that we were talking about throughout the year. As we were going along, and it's the second half of the year, things were going so well. And yeah, she's totally on board. She said, you've got the disease, you got to continue. You've got a sickness, you have to continue.
Lindy, congrats. It's one thing to envision doing this and having a breakthrough season like this when you're in something that you envisioned when you arrived. It's another to accomplish it. Now that it's all behind you, just the sense of reaching this level here in Buffalo, something that you wanted to see restored for such a long time, what's that mean to you?
Well, first of all, it's meant a lot to get to that point. But the point is about moving on now. We had a good season. We had a good playoff. But like I said the other night, it hurts because I felt we were the better team, that we should still be playing. Didn't capitalize. I don't have to go into detail. We didn't capitalize on a lot of opportunities in the Game 7 to put the game in our favor. And when you look at, you know, where we came from to get to where we got, and we got to a Game 7 that you lose out in. To get to that point was really hard. Now the understanding of how hard it's going to be to make sure we start the year the right way. There's going to be teams that are going to walk into this building and go, they're not taking us for granted. They're not going, well, we're in Buffalo. We've got the respect of a good team, and now we've got to be ready to, from day one, to win hockey games when we open up next year.
Lindy, you mentioned that you know, there's nights you go home and you wonder, you know, whether you should still be coaching. I'm curious how many of those there might have been, you know, the last, probably not this season, but maybe the first season you were here, and how often you might have questioned whether you would get to this point and sign another deal.
Well, there's not once when I got home that she didn't tell me I wasn't a good coach. So, incredibly positive, and just kept saying, keep doing what you're doing, and you'll get them to the right place. I think that's all you could really ask for. I mean, there was nights I went home, I was happy with the way we played, but we didn't win games. And you have that. But you do have a lot of nights. When you go through as many games as I've coached and many teams, you have a lot of nights you come home, you're pretty frustrated. You're pretty upset. You probably say things you shouldn't say.
Lindy, you know, you retained a lot of the staff that you've had, and you've had them the last couple of years. Have you made any decisions on your staff? I know the season just ended. Are you rolling with the same people, changes?
I can tell you right now that I've got an incredibly hardworking staff. I talked about continuity last year. I talked about the ability to keep moving forward. I really like my staff. Of all the staffs I've had on the teams I've coached, these guys have dug in, day night after night, from nearly 6:30 in the morning every day, 7 days a week, to when playoffs ended. We've battled through tough weeks. We've been able to keep a level head even when things were going real good. But I really believe in continuity. I believe in getting to know the guys I'm working with, what I did the first year. And I think the fact that we kept the same group, we became one of the better defensive teams in the league. We improved in a lot of areas. As a staff, I know we have to continue to improve. We have to continue to improve in all areas. That is the goal of my group right now. We're not satisfied where we're at. We know we got to be better. There's areas inside the playoffs that I felt we got better. There's areas throughout the year where I felt we got better and continue to get better. But just like the players, when we ask the players to get better, and that was throughout all our meetings today, I'm going to ask the staff to do the same thing. We've got 3 months to make ourselves better, to pick out the areas that we need to improve, and let's go to work.
In your exit meetings with the players the last few days, what did you sense about their processing the Game 7 loss and just their hunger to make this like the minimum for the future seasons?
Yeah, just, you know, disappointment. To a man, just disappointment. I think some guys that had big opportunities to turn the game our way, probably bigger disappointment than others. Everybody in the belief that knew we were right there to win that game and didn't get it done. Yeah, the meetings were good, but they were on the quieter side, knowing that I think everybody to a man believed we should still be playing.
Lindy, what's your message to the team to take what was a great season to get back into the playoffs and move it forward into something that's more consistent?
Well, number one is the amount of work you have to put in the off season. The number one thing you can take care of is your fitness level. Asked our team last year when it was all over that we needed to raise that standard, and really felt we did raise that standard. There's a standard we have to meet, and each player, to a man, when they got to camp, I think was ready to uphold to that standard. I think now we have a new standard, a level that I think you look at our third periods, you look at protecting leads. We were a team, I think, in year one, we let too many games slip away. Too many games slipped away in the third period. This year we were a much better third period team. This year I think there was times we were able to dominate in the third periods, and I give our fitness crew a lot of credit for that. I give our players a lot of credit for putting the work in, but understanding there's a lot more work to do.
Lenny, when you look to the future, how much does it excite you seeing the impact guys like Hellenius and Oslin were able to have other young guys on this team?
Yeah, you know, here's the number one thing. When let's go back, we'll spin this back a couple years to when I first met with Kevin. Kevin told me in my conversations with him, Oslin, Samuelson, Quinn, Hellenius, players like this are going to be real good players. Players I didn't know a lot about. He said, Lindy, these are really good players. He said, these players will be guys that are gonna help you win. And Kevin had a great relationship with his players, obviously, and believed in his guys he drafted, and believed in the guys that were playing in Rochester at the time. He was right. You look at putting Hellenius in the playoffs on the biggest stage here in the second round, and I thought he handled it really well, played really well. Could have himself been the guy that turned that game for us in a pressure-packed situation. You look at what Oslin was doing for us this year. Big loss. When we lost him in the playoffs, I consider that a big loss. You look at Samuelson. I mean, a lot of guys that he had mentioned. Samuelson had not only had a heck of a year, but he had a heck of a playoff. And so that's just a few of the players that were in that conversation I first had that I knew nothing about, that he told me we're going to be big impact players on this team. And you can take a look at where those players are right now. And he was right.
Lindy, two quick things for you. You talk about how you'd rather not be here, and we all know what that means, but how much do you kick yourself that was the chance to go back to Carolina again? That's something that only you live.
Oh, yeah. I know. I really believed we were winning the game. I really believed as soon as we tied the game, we were winning the game. I still have this vision of the 2-1. We're going in on the 2-1 that the game's over, that we're winning the game, that was our big opportunity, and I get to go back to Carolina. I mean, I had to go back to Carolina with Jersey, and the same thing happened in the game 5. We flipped a puck over the glass and lost to them, almost like it was like another dagger in me. But I was welcoming that opportunity. And in the previous game that we played in Carolina, the 2-1 game, unbelievable game where I don't know if you guys can remember the save that was made on Thompson, but unbelievable game. But against a team that has always been one of the best teams in the East, it's a measuring point. I was looking forward to having a chance at that series.
And the other thing you talked about, you know, you're coming home to your wife and the discussions you guys have had, and she would tell you to keep moving forward. You don't always get the chance to do that, obviously, when you're on the road. When you think back to November, and especially that West Coast trip, the way that started, was there any thought in your mind, like, after a year plus, that this is going nowhere and I may not get through this?
You know, my thoughts... because of all we were dealing with, and some of it you guys knew, some of it you didn't, part of it was, you know, we had key players that were out of the lineup, and Norris and Darlene's situation, and there was a stretch where, you know, we lost in Toronto, played a really good game, we lost another game that I thought we'd played a really good game, and I thought if the missing pieces were intact, I think we would have won that game. I just felt we were so close. It wasn't that we were getting, you know, buried. There was games where the stat sheet was in our favor. And a lot of stuff that I look at, from expected goals to chances for to my own kind of record, that the game should have been in our favor. We just didn't turn it. I really felt after the Calgary game, the meetings that we had and talked about, our defensive play has to be it has to be spot on for 60 minutes. Too many breakdowns. And I thought from that game forward, you know, you look at the Edmonton game, the Vancouver game, the Seattle game, all of a sudden 3-1, 3-2. It was like this. It was like Norris came back in the lineup. We were all of a sudden, we had a centerman that was playing really well defensively. And we were locked in. And we went on to a 10-game run. So November, I knew we were right there, and I just felt we get a couple pieces, we could fight our way back into this.
Lenny, another one of your younger players, Yuri Kulik, sat here yesterday. He told us what he went through and what he's been through, but he was really excited about, number one, he can play hockey again, number two, this team. I mean, we've seen what a gifted shooter and goal scorer he is in Rochester. What do you look for now in Yuri Kulik as we move forward?
The same thing I looked at a year ago when we finished the last like 20 games, and he was the number one center playing against every top line. He was on a line with Benson and Thompson, and we went 11-6-2. And it just told me this guy can play against anybody. He can outskate guys. He transported pucks out of the zone. Lethal shot that was scoring big goals, and that threesome was dominating other teams and playing other teams' top lines night in, night out. I mean, I didn't even mention him, but we started the year, that was really what we felt. We felt we had another guy that could be a 1-2 top centerman that now we don't have. So we went through an adjustment period that, you know, what we thought we were going to start the year with was nowhere near what we had.
Lindy, you talked about this maybe a week or two ago, but Tage mentioned today that the leadership group went out to dinner in Calgary, and they talked things out, and they wanted to hold each other accountable and so forth. What does that illustrate about the group, that they were willing to do that and they held themselves to that? And that happened, you know, obviously in Calgary, so you guys took off after that. So,
yeah, well, I think Calgary started off, you know, that day it started off with a leadership meeting, myself and the group, and then they took it from there. I gave my thoughts on where we needed to play and where we needed to be defensively, and I got some good feedback from them. I told them what I felt that we needed out of them, and they had a couple ideas, and I said, let's move on from here. Let's make Edmonton our best game. And then they had their get-together that night, I think, as a leadership group. And I got to give them all the credit, because from that day forward, I think we've all seen what happened.
Lindy, you know, you guys are one of the final five teams here, but you mentioned, you know, trying to build on this. And what do you see specifically from the playoffs as areas that you guys can get better to close that gap and become a Stanley Cup team?
Yeah. You know, not a lot of these guys not being in the playoffs. You know, we let, like, our home record hurt. That hurt. I felt the game five where we got off to a great start and then, you know, made a couple big puck errors that, I think if you can learn from that, like, we fueled some of their energy where we were really off to a great start in that game, and I just feel we had them where we needed, and all of a sudden we put a puck in a bad place and we gave them a goal that just gave them life. So there was a couple home games. You know, you can look at game two at home against Boston. Can you learn from that? Can our group, can they learn from that? And I felt they did. And like, you look at that Boston series, the heartbreaking loss in game five, and then asking the team to play their best game in game six in the visiting building. And to a man, I thought they played their best game. And we get to come home with a win. And so learning experience. The Montreal series is, I think the lesson for everybody is, let's not let it get to overtime. Let's not let it get to game seven. We had our opportunities to be better in home games. How do we need to be better? Well, some of it was defensive play. Some of it was individual mistakes that you learn from, you grow from, and you gotta move forward. But let's not let it get to game seven next time. We're in position with us being the home team to take advantage of that before it got there.
Lindy, reflecting back on the uncertainty that always follows with a GM change, how did you and Yarmo build your relationship given the fact that you really didn't know each other before that, and how did that level of trust and bond develop?
Yarmo and I spent, from the day he got here to every day he was here, he was in with us every day. And he was part of when we were having our coaches' meetings, he was there with us. He, just like Kevin would be in on meetings. Those meetings are wide open, but he spent every day with us. He was part of our group. He asked questions. That's Yarmo bringing some more chairs. Man of many duties. We shared ideas. I asked him questions. He asked me a lot of questions. It was just interaction every day. And I think that spurred growth. It got us to know each other. So that got us to this point. I a lot of times with meetings, I have nothing to hide. Our meetings, and you can ask anything about how we play and why we play this way and how we're dealing with players. And I think he wanted to get to know the staff, and we got to know him a lot better. I thought, we sat in that room and we would just say the next day when we started our meetings, just one more and go after the next game.
Lindy, you mentioned ultimately how it was a blessing you guys carried three goalies and how naturally the rotation kind of worked itself out to your benefit. Moving forward, though, do you believe it'd be better to have more of a traditional split in net, or this is something the rotation you believe will continue to go?
I don't know if you realize this, but next year it's mandatory to have an E-Bug goaltender. And our thoughts already are, instead of an E-Bug, why wouldn't you just have three? What if both goalies go down or both goalies are sick? Or the three goaltenders worked. I think we proved it, that it worked. I know it's a new concept for a lot of people, but there was more than one team that was carrying three goaltenders for a great part of the year. In my eyes, it has to work because these guys got along. All three of those guys got along. All three of them pushed each other, shared the net, and tried to make each other better. And I know that Alex Lyon's experience was great for UPL and for Ellis, that he could share his experiences of where he's been and help these guys out at the same time. But those three guys got along great, and that's one of the ideas right now.
Lindy, what was your exit interview with Michael Kesselring like, and how do you see him fitting in going forward?
The exit interview was good. It shared some conversations, like even in the playoffs. We've had good conversations about how his year went and the injuries and how he dealt with them, and then all of a sudden having to deal with not playing and trying to play catch-up. And, stepping in when your top four is playing as well as they're playing, and then playing a limited role as a 5-6 and trying to be a predictable player. Predictable means, you know, go out doing the right things and, you know, don't hurt your team. You don't have to be an offensive guy, just be a good defenseman. He walked through his year. He walked through, he's not being able to deal with some of the injuries and first time he's injured and mentally how it bothered him. But the interview was good. It was just, we believe in him still. The fact that he had to start the year the way he started, had to deal with, I don't think he skated well for the first half of the year. And we got into that second half where we had guys that were playing so well, it was hard to make changes. And I think by the end, he understood it. I did feel by the end, you know, watching him in practice, he was really starting to skate well. He was moving well. And I think by that time, other guys had kind of taken his place.
Lindy, yesterday, you know, we heard from guys like Josh Doan and Zach Benson, two players who, you know, really shined in the playoffs for you. And it feels like two building blocks moving forward. How can they continue to grow? And are those the types of people you need on your roster to kind of get to the next level?
Well, I think, you know, those guys were the guys that helped us get to where we were at. I mean, what important pieces. You know, I mentioned some of our young guys, obviously, in the first conversations, and Doan wasn't part of that conversation, obviously, because he was traded for this, you know, the start of this year. But you look at that growth, you look at the important role, you look at the energy. I mean, he's a Buffalo Sabre. He's a type of guy you wrap your arms around. I think if, you know, you look at Benson's play in the playoffs, fearless play and how dogged he was on the puck, and you have probably two of the best players that were on the puck all the time in Doan and Benson. You look at I still think the goal of the playoffs was the Doan goal that he set Benson up in Boston. I think that kind of exemplifies what type of players they are and the work they put in on that goal. Some of the plays that Benson made, you know, down below the goal line that led to some of our goals. That's winning hockey.
Lindy, Jason Zucker said that making the playoffs is an expectation now for this team. I mean, what's going to be the key for sustainability? I mean, not just making the playoffs, but the culture of this team, continuing to build the identity of this team, this organization?
Well, realizing what got us there, good defensive play, the ability to outwork teams, respecting the time in the game. I've talked a lot about puck management. Puck management on our team really improved. So start the year being ready for how hard this next task is going to be. And I thought our team passed that test over and over again, because as we got going down the stretch, you know, we lost a couple games. And then, you know, you start to hear the questions, you know, can they maintain? Can they bounce back? I think, again, we bounced back. We were able to win that next game. Then we were able to put four or five together again. It is about playing consistent hockey, playing our game. And our game is let's get going north in a hurry. Let's play the game quick. Let's get it in behind their D and let's try to outwork them.
Lindy, Rasmus was saying today that you guys got the best out of the team by, you know, you made them uncomfortable every day. And he meant that in a good way. How did you guys go about that? How do you keep them on their toes, so to speak, each day?
Oh boy. You know, I think you always have to be, you always have to push, and you always have to try to get better. Sometimes uncomfortable means I'm going to show some clips that aren't comfortable for some players. I'm not going to talk to you guys about them, but I'm going to show, or our staff, not only me, like we take turns. I think if I had to stand up in front of them for 82 games and tell them the same stuff, they'd be a little bit tired of me for sure. But there's days that Marty will take the clips. There's days that Seth. There's a lot of days that maybe it's just me taking the defensive part of the game and Seth taking the offensive part of the game. But it's not just good clips. This is, if we want to get better, we're going to have to be better with this. Sometimes it's the simplest things we'll show is stick on puck, body position, not letting pucks through us. This type of effort isn't good enough. This type of change isn't good enough to win hockey games. All the little one percenters in the game that will either get you another chance or you may give up a chance. And then alongside of that, which I think are character building clips, then we'll show the good stuff. And then there's always a couple clips in there that you can find a little bit of humor, that somebody has done something that'll bring a little bit of humor. And I love finding one or two of those clips. So they know that because we're not practicing a lot, we have to get better inside the video room first. And then when we hit the ice, if this is what we're showing, let's execute this at practice.
Lynn, you talked about Doan, and we just saw the improvement he had from his last year in Utah to his first year here. He's got 25 goals. You talked about how dogged he is on pucks and everything. And he's so young still, though. And I wonder, as you send him away to the summer now, what kind of things do you talk to him about that you'd like to see him improve after he just improved so much between that one year to the next?
Yeah, it might seem greedy, I guess, but talked about getting faster, continue to work on your skating. 25 goals, I think, is a good standard, but we'd like you to exceed those standards. I think his shot can still get better. His doggedness on pucks and everything is great. That's one of his strengths. But if you're a little bit quicker, your engine was a little bit bigger, you're going to be a dynamic player. I picture him, I didn't even say this in the exit meeting, but I picture him becoming a penalty killer. Just how good he is around the puck, that he can become a penalty killer at the same time. There's always areas to improve. And if you're not improving, you're not keeping up. If you think you've arrived and you think this is your, well, boy, I'm here now, you're not getting better.